You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Tapping into the Money Flow.
Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. Ecclesiastes 11th chapter. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Verse 2, give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Those same verses from the New Living Translation says, send your grain across the seas. In time, profits will flow back to you. Everybody say, flow back to me. In time, profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places, for you don't know what risk might lie ahead. Let's drop down to verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. And again, as I introduced this in the beginning of the month, I'm going back to tell you, I'm preaching about something that folks say that's all I preach about, which is not true. Those of you attend this church and know me know it's not true, but people say all I preach about is money. That ain't true, but I'm preaching about money today. Amen? And because how many of y'all got issues with money? Because you got issues with money. Let me rephrase it. How many of y'all don't like money? Oh, okay, I'm going to tell you, please quit your job tomorrow. Okay. Bishop Jake said something years ago. He had a series called PMS. And he said those are things that people want but don't want to talk about. Power, money, and sex. But I ain't going to deal with that last part. I'm going to deal with the money part. PMS. And money is a basic issue of life. Amen? You know, when you look at this ministry, you look around and you see the things we do and the excellence. It takes money to do that. It takes money to just keep lights on. Thank God we're way beyond that. It takes money to just have your basic needs of life met. And thank God many of us we're beyond that. And so I entitled this series called Tapping into the Money Flow. Tapping into the Money Flow. And I also gave it a subtopic. I'm not sure if I gave that. And that was living beyond a paycheck. Or we can say living or believing beyond a paycheck. They say the average person, even in the United States, is one paycheck away from poverty. One paycheck. So if you didn't get paid on the 1st or the 15th or every 2 weeks or a week, that can really cause dire consequences in your life. And I'm telling you, that's not the will of God for your life. Amen? And so the scripture tells us, it gives us prescriptions for getting in the money flow, because we said that money is currency. Money is what? Money is currency. Currency means it has to be flowing. And the reason why I can preach about this with such conviction is because I'm a boy who was born and raised in the projects of Jersey City, New Jersey. Never was around people who had anything. If they did, they hid it or wouldn't talk about it. And people glorified poverty. I was in churches that in order to, every time we had a project, we could sell chicken dinners, glory to God. And thank God, the chickens like Right Direction. Amen. Because we hadn't killed that chicken. Amen. Praise the Lord. With all that we've done in $10 million of assets for this ministry, more like 15 now. But in all that we've done, not one chicken has had to die because people have been able to give. That's how we do. Amen. And so it's the will of God for us to go beyond paycheck to paycheck. And I told you, one of my assignments is to raise up millionaires in the kingdom of God. So money is currency. And currency is something that is in circulation as a means of exchange. And during the recession, depression, money stops circulating. That's what happens. Money does not evaporate. Amen. When you hear about the stock market going down, that does not mean that all of a sudden America has less money. That means people divested. People start selling or taking their money out. Money does not evaporate. Money circulates. Are y'all with me here? And when you need money, it's not physically created for you at that time. It's tapped into and flows to you. That's why I said you have to have a way that God can legally get it to you. Everybody say legally. See, I know that's the part that messes us up. The legal part, man. You know, I had that flow and then I got saved and they told me I can't do that no more. No, God has a way to legally get it to you. And God's promises to the Hebrews was that he's going to bring them into a land that what? That flows with milk and honey. And that land for the Christian means once you get saved, once you get born again, God wants you in living in a land that flows with milk and honey, that flows with provision. That need is something of your past. And we said that, so money comes as a result of money going. So if you can't just be sitting on a dock waiting for your ship to come in. No ship out, no ship in. All you're going to be doing is sitting by the dock of the bay watching the clouds roll away. No ship out, no ship in. But when you have the assurance of the flow, you don't have to hoard. Because you know, come on, say it with me, say it'll be there when I get there, and I'll have it when I need it. Say it again by faith. It'll be there when I get there, and I'll have it when I need it. And that's the place that God wants his people to come to, that I do what he tells me to do with what he's given me. I don't have to hoard. It'll be there when I get there, and I'll have it when I didn't say you don't have to save. I said you don't have to hoard. Because the Bible talks about withholding more than you should. It didn't say you shouldn't withhold any. It said you can withhold more than you should, which means hoarding. So money is already circulating and flowing. You just got to get it to circulate your way and flow to you. So we said you must tap into the money flow. I said when you own a home, look at your neighbor and say he's still reviewing. Okay? When you own a home, you pay a water bill when you own a home. And you aren't really paying for the water. Amen. You are not paying for the water. You're paying for the flow into your house. You don't believe that? You don't pay that water bill. You'll say everybody else got it still flowing. You don't have it flowing. You're not paying for water. You're paying to get it to your house. You're paying to because there's a tap. When we built all these properties here, it was just dirt. And then we had to get piping, and then we have to pay the city for a water tap to get the water that's flowing down Broad River Road to come back here on this land. Are y'all with me here? And so you got to get it to flow to you. So money must flow from you in order to flow to you. Look at Proverbs 11:24, and I'm going to be moving on. Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth. That's talking about being generous, all right? Let's pull up first from King James Version. Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth and yet increases. And there's that withholds more than meat. That's what I was talking about earlier. Hold back more than you should. That's hoarding. And it tends to poverty. He said there are people who are always giving and always increasing, giving and always having. And there's other people who are like, I'm going to get all I can all I get, and then hide the can. And they still are always broke. Don't have. Because here's the principle. The liberal soul shall be made fat. The what? The liberal what? The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered himself again. He that watereth is going to start a flow. He that watereth shall be watered again himself. That sounds like a flow. All right? Now listen to those verses from the New Living Translation. Give freely and become more wealthy. And these are spiritual principles that Christians need to know about. And as long as you hear this stuff about all preachers wanted your money, and you don't go around saying all Kroger wanted your money, all Walmart wanted your money, that smile is demonic. She doesn't do it anymore. But Pastor Marcy, years ago, I'm just going to run and get some milk and go to Walmart. How many know you can't go to Walmart just milk? There's a spirit in that smile that says, buy this, buy that. Look how cheap this is. Okay? And nobody says all Walmart wants is your money. And so if you shut down your brain or put up a resistant spirit anytime you hear a message like this, then you'll never tap into the flow supernaturally that God wants you to tap into. So Proverbs 11:24 says, give freely, become more wealthy, be stingy and lose everything. That's what the word says. Give freely, become more wealthy, be stingy, lose everything. The generous will prosper. I'm a living witness that the generous will prosper. I sold my way out of poverty. I gave the ministry when it didn't make sense for me to give the ministry. I started doing it as a teenager in a church that paid dues. Didn't say anything about tithing. But I learned about tithing from my uncle, Bishop Bailey. And in the traditional church that we were in, I took the principal back there and I was tithing from my summer jobs. And y'all never believe this, but the deacons and trustees went to my family and told me that boy's putting too much money in church. Can y'all imagine? Y'all know if anybody needs to be fired, that deacon and trustee, they got to go. I mean, whose side are you on? They told my parents, my mother and my grandmother, that I'm putting too much money in the church. And I was a young minister, and I would preach, and I would get $100 here and $50 there. And I'd come back, and I would tithe and give an offering. And they said I was putting too much money in the church. And my grandmother said to me, she said, now you need to hold on to that money because you're going to college. She said, you need to hold that $5 tithe I was giving. She said, you need to hold on to that. Obviously, she had not been to college. Okay? You need to hold on to that money because you're going to college. My family had no way of sending me to college. So if anything, I need to cast some bread on the water because the $5 surely wasn't enough to meet my need. So I might as well make it my seed. That's a principle. So the generous will prosper. Those refreshed others will be refreshed themselves. Now, the Lord was dealing with me about, I was meditating on this last week. That Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Put that back up in the traditional King James. The liberal soul. Everybody say liberal soul. The liberal soul. The word liberal, it means generous. It doesn't mean a left-wing Bernie kind of Democrat. That ain't what that means when it said liberal. Liberal in this context. it means generous. The generous soul shall be made fat. Or the generous person will increase or be enriched or get rich. And so I was thinking about this, the liberal soul. It didn't say the liberal acting. It said the liberal soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so you can't fake being liberal. At least not to God. You can give a what you consider a large amount and do it with the wrong attitude. You're not a liberal soul. The liberal soul. In other words, this thing got to become a part of you. It has to be who you are. Now, I'm going to give you a couple ways to measure whether you are a liberal soul or not. Do you stop giving if it looked like the person that you gave to is not giving back to you? Do you stop giving if it looks like the economy is changing? And I watched that happen in this church. I watched people who I thought were liberal souls. Oh, y'all going to be quiet on me this morning. I thought they were liberal souls, but they got scared because, not because they lost a job, but because the news was telling them every day somebody's losing a job. You'd be surprised how many people went on the panic this week because Harley Davidson is shutting down a plant and moving employees. You'd be surprised people who have no connection with the steel industry, have no connection with motorcycles, started panicking because they heard Harley Davidson is laying people off. Well, the liberal soul, that doesn't affect you. Because this is who you are. I told y'all that you know, they're talking about, you know, there are some people who want to take away the tax deduction for giving to charity. Well, if you stop because of that, then you're not a liberal soul. You're just doing it for the benefits. Are y'all with me here? The liberal soul. So the liberal soul, it means the generous person, not liberal acting or generous acting. It's a soul thing. Anybody say a soul thing? Jimmy got soul. I don't know where that came from, y'all. I'm a soul man. It gotta be part of who you are. The liberal soul. It's a soul thing. It must be who you are, not just what you do. Which is why 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says that God loveth a cheerful giver. That's the person who does it from their soul. It's who they are. Not just what they do. God doesn't love it. When it says love it, he cherishes, he prizes a cheerful giver who's doing it from his heart or his soul. And if you came to Bible study over the last couple of months, I even taught about that when God says take an offering, he said, but take it from those who are willing. Not just going through the motions. I always have to say this so you can evaluate yourself. The only people who get mad when I preach a message like this is people who are not liberal souls. Stop making all those creases in the seats. Relax. Only stingy people have a problem. But the liberal soul understands, man, this is what the word says. I'm one of the liberal people and I'm going to be blessed. Liberal soul, generous person, not liberal acting or generous acting. It's a soul thing. So it must be who you are, not just what you do. If it's who you are when stuff is tight, when pressure's on, man, you keep on doing that thing. You keep on doing it because you know that the word works. Now go to Proverbs 23, 6 and 7. I want to show you something here. We often quote the scripture, but you need to see it in the context. Proverbs 23, verse 6 and 7. It says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meat. Somebody like, what is that talking about? Who's this evil eye person? And what is a dainty meat? Verse 7. Now we all quote verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So the context, we always say, you know, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. But look at the context. The context is saying, you're eating with someone who's acting like they want you to eat it, but they really don't. He's trying to act like he's generous, but it's really stingy. Now listen to that from the New Living Translation. Uh-oh. Some of y'all going, you had plan to eat with somebody today, and you're going to change it after this. Proverbs 23 and 6. Don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. They are always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. Why? Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So he's going through the motion like you're generous, but you're really stingy. And it says that type of person don't even be around. I don't like being around stingy folk. Now, see, I know some of you, especially millennials, I watch y'all do this thing. Okay. And even years ago when I was a millennial. They wasn't calling the millennials then, but I was between the ages of 25 and 35 too at one time, you know, okay? Back in the day. Y'all see how Pastor Marcy outed me today? She outed me. I had never stood up with the seasoned citizens. And she outed me. That just ain't right. I think a person ought to come out on their own. She outed my seniority today. Okay. But we used to eat and we look at the check and everybody, well, I'm at $100. Oh, man, everybody throwing $20. Okay? Everybody throwing $25 and then you got enough to cover everything and got the tip. But y'all be like, separate checks and the servers hate to see y'all coming. Because we know I got a whole bunch of stingy people here, and y'all gonna be here nickel and diming. I'm talking about, there wasn't no refills in the ginger ale. You charged me for two. I only ordered one. I can't do it. I can't stand to eat with folks like that. Come on, everybody just throw some money in here. Let's get the thing done. Let's have enough. Look at your neighbor and say, I need some new friends. That's a whole nother, because I'm probably not going to get to that part of it, but that's one of the points of tapping into the money flow, is that you got to be around generous people. So it said, don't eat with people who are stingy, as he thinketh in his heart. So this liberal thing, you know, tapping the flow, it got to be part of who you are, not just what you do. I have watched people over the years try to impress me with their giving. In Japan, it's a very honorable society. They always honor, they honor everybody. And so and I had to catch on at first. And they would ask for something. I would take out the yen and I'd put it down on the counter. And Pastor Mark kept saying, they want you to put it in the plate. I said, huh? He said, put it in the plate. So they put out a dish or like a platter. You're supposed to put the money in the platter. And then they receive it. And when they give it back to you, they put it in the platter and they present it to you. And us here, we just like, hey, no respect, no honor, here. We give to them crumble up and everything. And they would present it to you like a server is presented. And then they would bow. And it was a whole bunch of, I'm a say around there. Everybody said, I'm a say. I think that means thank you. Because everybody said it. I'm a say. Okay. But they did it in an honorable way. And so, this is what I'm saying. I watched people here trying to impress me. And here's where I'm going with this. There was one person, they would come up to me. Pastor, the Lord told me to sell to you. And they would write a check. And they would look like they were presented in an honorable way. And they would write a check. It would say, Herbert Bailey, have $100 on it or something. And I said, thank you. And most of the time, I wouldn't even, you know, when you come back, I'm like, well, I'm with it. And I said, thank you, pray over, bless you, put it in my pocket, whatever. And they went through all that. They ain't here today. Didn't even say bye. See, and then I remember saying to Pastor Marshall one time, I said, you realize they're trying to impress us with their giving. Don't impress me, impress the Lord. Because as soon as, eventually, you're going to see that I'm not your source. God, the pastor's not going to do something you want. You got to lift your eyes to the hill from which comes your help. All your help comes from the Lord. Now, it's good to honor people and all that, but your eyes ultimately have to be on him. And so I watch people do big checks, try to impress and all that, but their hearts weren't with me. That's my point. Their hearts weren't with me. This thing, it has to be a heart thing. When you're a giver, it needs to be a heart thing, not an impressing thing. So you got to sow to tap into the flow. Let me go a little bit further here. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to prime the pump. I heard someone else say this. I was trying to think of what this term was. And then I was with someone and I said, that's it. I got to teach about that. You have to prime the pump. In order to get the flow to flow, you got to do something to start the flow. You got to prime the pump.
Currency in any form is exchanged from one person to another. Money is already flowing throughout the earth. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains how to tap into that flow to get it to you. Order this timely series today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Tapping into the Money Flow.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.